Hey everybody, this is Ryan.
And this is Wayne.
And this is episode 15 of Kill the Rabbit podcast. I feel like we should have like a tagline after that, like Kill the Rabbit podcast under like subtitle something, right? It just feels like it needs to...
Something more to it.
Yeah.
Some pizzazz.
Yeah. Get more, buy less. Or pay less, buy it, get more. Something like that. I don't know. This week's gone good. It was better than last week. I had some blips in it. Like, I'm still struggling with dealing with stress. And I have a big issue with... I push myself really hard. And so I... From that vantage point, I'm not understanding that other people don't know that I'm pushing myself really hard. And how would they know? Because they... don't care because they're involved in their own life. So I'll get pissed off because someone will kind of step on my toes, or like they're under the assumption that I'm just like every employee. So they're like, oh, you need some guidance. Let me provide some motivation for you. And that irks me because I'm like, can't you see I'm really trying? Well, they can't see that. So I'm struggling with getting that under control for myself, because it'll just ruin a whole day, because I'll be so high strung and so ready to go to murder someone when it's not really their fault. And if I would express myself in that manner, they would be like, wow, are you, yeah, where is this coming from?
Their idea of motivation is threatening you, which mm-hmm. seems to work well with some employees, because actually some employees do need to be threatened in order to get something done.
And most people aren't like that. And just understanding that has been a struggle for me, but I'm getting better at it. So that's what happened the beginning of this week and last week, because it's things at work are, it is a struggle. They purchased something that we're starting to see, like, it doesn't meet all the requirements or needs that we're trying to utilize. We've been sold goods that are not truthful. But it does not negate from us telling people that something will be done.
There are certain expectations.
Yes.
You and I talked about that this week, you know, this product that you're working with. It'd be something else if there was some benchmark out there that everyone knows what to expect from a certain product.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas you guys are kind of off in unknown territory developing something that few, if any, really know what to expect.
Right.
So in order to come up with some kind of a date as far as when we want this thing to be live, people are a little bit anxious, and so they're pushing. But it doesn't mean that their expectations are realistic.
Correct.
So.
Well, and it's a struggle for me to meet the expectations of myself and then try to ignore the expectations that I think other people have. But that's just something that I've been struggling with. I'm trying to get better at it. But it's going to get better as everything does with time.
Well, see, part of your... Well, a whole big part of your problem is the fact that you're really the only one that knows what's realistic
mm-hmm.
in expectations on this product. And
well, not only that, it's... I have an inkling of what's real. And I've noticed that with my last two jobs, it's a very strange place, because I am hired on the potential of me having a large impact and putting a huge dent in your problem, or in the solution, whatever the good thing is, right? Whittling it down, right? Making, just blowing all these pieces of unknowns out of the way, and then everybody can work full speed ahead, and then we're done. But each one has been, you know, the first one was like last year, And they would be like, "Do you understand this type of software?" And I'm like, "No." And they're like, "Okay, you're gonna learn it." So I learn it, and then I do it, and then I try to do all these custom things with it that they need it, right? So I'm on support, I'm talking to support about their product, and then getting into the nitty-gritty, and it is crazy. Then the other one, the next job, the one I'm at now, the same situation. So you kind of get hired to, these pieces look like they fit, so we're going to try it. Because there's not all these technologies that are coming out, a lot of them are new, and not a lot of people have experience with them, sans the people that actually work for those companies providing those services. And then you'll deal with a lot of larger companies that, yes, they are larger, but they still, on their dev team, have very much so that startup mentality of just kind of like, eh, we wing it. Because, like, how I do with my projects, the personal projects that I work on, you try things out and you see if it works. Whereas in the enterprise world, like, you don't go to work without looking in the mirror and seeing if you put your clothes on or not. Whereas in the startup world, I may be in my shorts, I may be in my bathrobe. It just kind of changes every day. Whereas in enterprise, because so many systems depend on that and have failover of failovers, things have to work, they have to be structured, and there's a document for everything. Whereas in this other world, where in the software world, where things move very fast and they're very fancy free, or footloose and fancy free, it's harder to nail them down on things because that is kind of something that moves that fast, you kind of have to hold it loosely. Whereas enterprise is just not ready for that, and that's the struggle. But I do like it. Things have gotten better. It's less stressful. I didn't really work on the system. I realized that the first thing I had to do is get the scheduling down for myself. So I have my whiteboard, and I'm like, okay, this is Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and then Sunday is planning. So I've hit that on the head. Planning, I did on Sunday. So you plan the week out. So I realized that I have some time in the morning and some time at night, and I don't know which time I'm going to use, if any. Sometimes I stay up too late, and then I miss the time in the morning. I have to go straight to work, but I have the nighttime. So I have these two spots. So I'm going to work on the system in the morning, and I have another reminder at night. And one of those I'm shooting for to try to be flexible with my schedule. And so then the other one is the new company that I'm working on. We just decided to bring in another member who's really good with marketing. Has a lot of experience in like large level marketing firms, which is great for us given the competition we're going up against. So we had that discussion this week. We talked about architecture. The other partners are kind of starting to understand my perspective. So kind of my vision of how these things should work, and they're starting to dig into the details enough to ask the right questions of, what do you think we should do about this server? And they'll be like, well, we can throw it on a Heroku server. Well, how do we do that? Well, I've already done that. Oh, awesome. So they're starting to gain not a respect, they already had respect, but an understanding of like what I'm bringing to the table and why we need to have these discussions. So that has been going well. But the system is lagging behind, but I can kind of see that on my whiteboard of, I've hit these two goals, I've missed all three, so I'm going to push more on the other side now. But I figured that the biggest issue that I was having was how to compartmentalize and be realistic with the amount of time that I had. So if I get up at 6 o'clock, I only have 2 hours. If that, if I'm going to start work at home, then I'm realizing I don't really take lunch, I work through lunch, so I'm spending all this time in the morning and at night working on my job stuff and doing hours that I'm not billing for, which was kind of alarming because I said, well, I come in at 9 and I leave at 5. Yeah, do the math. That's 8 hours. And I was like, oh man, I thought, okay. So then now I try to leave to not give my time away. But it's really hard because I'm super ingrained in this problem that I'm trying to fix. So the gist of it is that the thing that I figured out that was key was to figure out your schedule, but then also build in those mechanisms by which something can get missed in the morning and you can pick it up at night, or planning even more, planning for the week. So you know the steps that you have to do. I have it in my GitHub issues on, I have them laid out. Like on my project, there's probably 200 issues that I have to deal with.
So, what I'm hearing you saying, and I'm kind of challenged by it a little bit, you realize that, for me personally, I seem to have always kind of run in a regular routine where things had to happen at a certain time. If I want to be consistent, whether it's my exercising or whatever it is, it needs to be at a certain time of day, certain days of the week, whatever. But just that lock down consistency in order for it to happen continually. The problem is that so many times you run up against life. Life happens in ways in which, hey, I'm sorry, if you're going to be inflexible, it's going to be stressful for you because you're not going to be able to do things always when you want to do them. That's just the way it is. So being a little bit more flexible, quick on your feet to consider, okay, I do want to get this done today. For instance, like you're just talking about maybe exercising, and I normally do it in the morning. It's not going to work out this morning because of something else going on. That doesn't mean it can't happen today. It's just that you just have to rethink your day a little bit. And I know I kind of kick against that a bit because I tend to be feel more comfortable within the realm of, lockdown schedules. This is the way we do it. And that's really hurting me. And so I'm
Well,
trying
the
to.
reason that I put it twice is because I love to-do lists, and I still get to mark it off if it didn't happen, because it's going to happen again that night.
Okay.
And then I just I mark it, and then I, because it's still on my board. You can look at my board. That's why it's a screaming reminder of, you did these two things. That's very good, because normally you were doing zero. And the reason I was doing zero, and the reason that I put two spots, do morning or night, is because of myself. I'm a super extremist. If I miss it, if I miss the schedule, what I was designated to do, I'm supposed to work in the system in the morning, right? I missed it. I overslept. Because I'm an extremist, I will say, forget it, push everything to the next day, I can't get anything done. It doesn't matter, and then I fall off the wagon. And I do it all the time. So now with the running, I couple the running with the diet. So like, if you miss the running, you better be on point for breakfast and lunch on your diet. If you screw up on the diet, then you better be running. So like one of those, just to kind of keep it a little open for myself, because I tend to overschedule myself. Like think about it. Morning, night, Monday through Saturday, and planning on Sunday. When do you do anything else? And the fun part is, I do anything else's all the time. It's so hard. I get maybe, if I'm lucky, half the things I was striving for. But what I'm realizing is that half are still three more things that I didn't do last week.
Right.
Because when I had it all blocked out, because I would get angry if I missed my run in the morning, and then I'm like, oh great, I can't do it at night. Like that's why I put you have to be flexible. Like we're at podcast, right? I'm supposed to be working on the system tonight. Will it happen on Thursday? No, you know that it won't happen on Thursday because you do podcast every Thursday.
Right.
So I just try to put reminders in there enough that I build them into habits so I don't have to think about them. But that's why I do it, because I'm an extremist, and my gut feeling is push everything to tomorrow. Today is a wash.
You use the term falling off the wagon. The writing has had to take a little bit of a back seat, not, and I've really I'm really committed to not putting it on permanent back burner, or at least what it would look like back burner, because I got this test coming up on the end of July of September. And I got to get ready for that thing. And I really don't know how much time I really need to study for it, but I really have to pass this test. So I'm spending time at work. I'm spending time studying. But I want to be really careful with the writing because my history is that I'll be doing something for a while, and then all of a sudden, 6 months have gone by, and gee, I haven't done that for 6 months, you know? And somehow or other, you got off. You didn't bother to keep it on the conscious level when you got off the road and into the weeds. But you've been in the weeds for 6 months, and now you're just now, oh my gosh, I was going to do that. And so I'm making that conscious effort to keep it in front of me so that I'm still working on it. It's a dumbed down version of time on it. I'm not spending as much as I was on it, but I'm aware that I have this tendency to get off and never come back, and I'm trying to make sure that that doesn't happen. And so far, that's been really good. You know, as I think about the things that we're talking about, I'm always kind of intrigued by, you know, just human growth and the potential that you have to achieve some significant goal that you want. But then the thing that I realize that I personally need, and I'm sure lots of people do, things like motivation, perseverance. One of the things that I've been really learning through this time is just persevere. You may not feel like doing the writing or studying for the test or whatever it is that you happen to be doing, but if you keep that goal in your mind that I am going to have a published book, I am going to have a passed exam, whatever the goal happens to be, you keep that in front of you, and then even on the days when you'd rather be laying on a beach someplace, you tell yourself, this goal is only out there for a certain period of time. And so bear down. You chose this. Nobody forced you. Nobody twisted your arm. You chose this goal. But it's going to be hard. It's going to be difficult. There's going to be parts of you that are going to fight against it. Because if you know your nature, and for me, for instance, I know my nature. My nature has been to be a little bit lazy, to take the path of least resistance at times. And I'm discovering that, I don't know if you can identify with this or not. That's one of the, when I look back and I realize that I've had a certain amount of problem with setting goals for myself at times. Well, why is that? Why should goal setting be so difficult? Well, maybe it's because you need that out.
And I don't want to feel bad about myself.
No, that's okay. So if you have a little bit of a fear of failure in yourself, well, then just stay away from setting clear goals, because then you don't have too much to beat yourself up for when you don't achieve that less than clear goal that you had set in front of you.
Well, that's really funny that you say that, because when I write things out, and I get fussed out at work sometimes for this, because I'm very meticulous now with step one is, so I'll literally write something down, a to-do, and I'll have to rewrite it two or three times, or break it into pieces, because I'll write out this, I need to get the back end communicating with the front end. Okay, do that. Well, like, what do you mean? Like, you haven't delineated any steps. There's no things. That's a very vague thing, but that's how my mind works at a high level. So, like, making myself, like, okay, what are the steps, start to finish, and realizing that some of these steps, as you do step one, you realize two and three are irrelevant, and you throw them out. Is taking that really granular mannerism with it has helped a lot, but also understanding that my natural instinct is to make excuses and find a way kind of not to do it. And then I have another misconception, or a big misconception, is that my goals and the things that I'm trying to accomplish are going to stay the same. And I'm just going to pick them off the shelf and I'm going to do the system now. But you don't know how things are going to change. You know, I think about it like when you were playing in the pool and you're holding a ball under the water, and like how hard that is. The natural tendency for yourself in accomplishing something is to let go and just not, it's, that's what it feels like for me. I feel like I'm trying to push a ball under the water, and I feel like it doesn't get easy in the beginning, but it does get easier with time. But just the fluidity of things, like on the project that I'm working on, we've changed course 3 or 4 times. So you would look at that and you would say, you've restarted 4 times. Therefore, you have accomplished getting traction on the project or even having any type of distance that you've gone. You've gone back to zero. But that's not necessarily true because the actual thing that has happened is much more multidimensional than that. You've learned all these new things. Now you have all this new knowledge. So because you've restarted 4 times, now you can do 0 to 60 in 3 seconds because you can look at these things and discern, that's a bad idea. I already know that. I already sketched that out. That's not going to work. We need to do it like this. So having that knowledge really becomes very powerful and starting to understand that I don't need to, I can't, the way that I'm going to judge something as far as my completion of it doesn't necessarily mean that you're done. I think when you finish the book, it'll be hard because then you're like, okay, what do I do now? Like you've had this driving force and that you just, it just leaves this void of, because that's a misconception of what you think. You think that you're going to finish something and that it's going to be like, oh, finally. Like when I was out, I was unemployed for 6 weeks. What was I thinking? This is amazing. I can do whatever I want. I can watch TV all day. It doesn't matter what I do. Wrong. Give it 2 weeks. I'm trying to tackle the next thing. So realizing that tackling the next thing in your list is what really pushes you and drives you, instead of my knee-jerk reaction always is, oh gosh, another problem I have to deal with. That's why you're employed. That's why people hire you, because you can fix those problems. You should be worried when the problems aren't there anymore.
Exactly. Yeah, it's interesting. I this whole process, and it's interesting how when you're reaching out to achieve some goals, there's two things that people often don't talk about, and they think about maybe the money or the prestige, or I'm checking off a box, or but they don't necessarily think in terms of the struggles that they're going to have, struggles from within themselves, because maybe they're fighting motivation issues, being lazy, whatever. But they're also, like you're experiencing in the workforce, struggling with working with people, because it's not a pure environment where we're all getting together as a team. We have this common problem, and we brought together this varied skill set, and we're going to work together to achieve this great accomplishment. Well, what enters the fray is egos. All kinds of different things begin to enter in to disrupt that whole process. And so, working towards achieving your goal, you just don't know from the outset the enemies that you're going to meet along the road, the highway, highwaymen that are going to rob you blind of you, maybe your motivation or you of you achieving that goal that you desire. And for myself, I was just thinking about this, where so many times I would start off working towards a goal, and somehow or other I'd get off, like I say, into the weeds. And essentially, what has happened is I've lost motivation. Okay. But if you think about another scenario.
Do you think that you lose motivation because, like, that has to, okay, so like the laws of physics, something will continue in motion in a direction unless something of opposite direction and force opposes it. So that inertia that you have when you're writing or when you're doing something, what is the outside? Is it because you don't see results? It's because you don't see the results that you want to see, or like what it, I'm curious about what causes that.
I think just being on the journey towards this goal has been an interesting learning experience. I think it was really important for me to plant the flag and say, this is what I'm going to do at the outset, and let people know that, because that got me moving down a road, and in a sense, it's kind of like cutting the cord a little bit, and we're not returning. That doesn't mean you may may not return empty-handed, mm-hmm. but you're certainly moving in some kind of direction. Mm-hmm. So you get a little bit further down the road and say what happens, which has happened to me a number of times, where you kind of lose a little steam, you lose a little gas, and you may not have even stopped to ask yourself, what is it, what's happening here, kind of like what you're saying. I think that there's maybe a couple of things going on. One of them might be a fear of failing at something. There might be something going on where you get into it. Like as I got into more and more of the writing, I realized the things that I didn't have mm-hmm. in the way of skill and experience, and I wanted to do better. And so I started reading this and I started reading that, and essentially my eyes began to be open to, hey, to be a good writer, you really need, it's not just like falling off a log. There's a lot of things to it. So there's nothing wrong with that. You just do a little course correction. You realize that the small spoonful you just had at the outset has become, much larger. Mm-hmm. But that's because what you're pursuing is much larger. Now, you may find, and this is what I'm finding I'm having to do, is to pare down the goal mm-hmm. instead of saying, I'm going to write the novel of novels, the mm-hmm. number one mm-hmm. of all time, exaggeration there, obviously, but not too far from the truth when you stop to think about what happens and you realize maybe what you ought to do is just finish this to this point and be okay with that and then set off on another one. Because you may run the risk of beating to death this one project because you're just trying to make it something stellar when, if you're really honest with yourself, you're just kind of afraid maybe of it, the rejection of it, or, it not being everything that you had hoped it would be. But that's a learning experience.
Well, and I say issues, I'm not talking about issues, I'm talking about to-do items. For all intents and purposes, that's what it is. In my, where I keep all my code and stuff, I would before plan out, okay, I'm gonna have completion in 6 months. For this month, I'm gonna do this. Then I'm gonna do this. And the further out I go, the more vague the goal is. Mm-hmm. And then I would, what would happen, I was to get into the third month and I'm like, oh geez, I'm so behind, I'm gonna ditch month one and two, we're just gonna start working on three and see if we can catch up. And so it was just this cyclical depression, frustration. So now what I do is I say, okay, what are we doing next? It doesn't matter about next month. There's no dates. Now I have current tasks, and they should be no more than like 8 things. And this is the only thing you're doing. Doesn't matter when they get done. But in order to pick, so I have just this bag of things to do. And then this is what I'm going to, this piece I'm going to focus on. So I'm going to do these 8 things which are related and need to be done in sequence. And so now that's what I do. And it's funny because when I was young, I would assume that everything is easy. There just has to be a way that you, there has to be a way around the hard work. Oh, that's so easy. That's what I would always say when I was young and stupid. Mm-hmm. So as I get older, I then swung the other way and became highly pessimistic. So everything is too hard. Oh, it's so difficult. Oh, I can't do that. So my wife would yell at me all the time. She's like, oh my gosh, if I hear you say this is hard one more time, I'm going to kill you. Because I would always say, oh, it's so hard. It's just too hard. Oh, it's too hard. Now, I look at a thing, a new technology that I'm working on. I don't say it's easy. I don't say it's hard. I say, I don't know, but I'm going to research and try to find the first step. And it is very difficult for me to do that because I am very detail-oriented and very meticulous, and I want to plan everything out into the future. But I realize you can take your plans, you can plan 6, you can plan 10 years. It doesn't matter because what you know in a year is not going to look anything like what you see today. So learning to do that and learning to release a little bit of my super OCD needs to be done in this amount of time based on what? Like, remember what I said about my system? Who's waiting on my system?
Right.
Do I have a project team that's waiting on me to finish? No one knows about it. It's just you. So just relax.
Well, there's a couple of things that I see you doing that I think are really good. You said something, and I think you told this to your boss, that one of the things that you do to yourself is that you don't limit yourself as far as when it comes to failures. You don't see that as, that's it. You learn from the failures, you expect the failures, you give yourself permission to fail. And that's so crucial to maintaining some kind of momentum in some direction. But then you also do something else, and this is what I was going to bring up for myself, and that's the area of, okay, so if you lose your motivation, okay, you started off, you were really excited about something, but all of a sudden you start to, that starts to wane a little bit and it starts to drop off. You've got to find a way to remotivate yourself, because if you don't, it's essentially almost as bad as just you drop the goal altogether in your mind. You're no longer looking at the goal anymore, and you're just looking around for something else. I think about something like a little more lighthearted. If you think about, you really want to go to Disney World. Oh, I'm so excited. I can't wait. I want to go to Disney World. But over the course of the next week, I've got to get this done, that done, that done, that done, and all these different details you got to go for. And you go like a house of fire. Why? Because you really want to go to Disney World. That's prime in your mind. Okay.
Well, like you told me before when I was younger, you said, because I was struggling with being passionate. Because there was a while, especially when I came back from Austin, that I wasn't doing any programming. I wasn't doing any. I was just going out with my friends. And you were like, I just feel that you're too far from the fire. You're too far from the things that inspire you. So seeking that out is number one priority because other things will follow. And like that, like I said about the progress, we're confined to this one-dimensional view of I start the goal, I complete the goal. It is a straight line. That has never been what it looks like,
No.
right? You're looking at it like this. And if you were to turn it to the Y dimension, you'll see that that's actually not a straight line. It looks like a straight line because it looks like hold a piece of paper like this, just horizontally, it'll look straight line. But you turn that paper over and you look at what it really looks like a treasure map. You're going, you're not at any one point in time, it's not that you're not moving, it's just what direction are you going? So I was getting way up here away from the passion, I start to lose momentum and I start to wander around because there's no North Star for me. I don't have something that I can, oh, this is why I do what I do. This is why I love programming because I love solving problems that other people can't. I'm the guy that keeps pushing when everybody has given up. I did that at work. They said, this is out, this isn't going to work. And I said, let me try this Hail Mary. And actually, it's working. But yes, that's awesome, but that's just a testament of what you love to do. I love pulling that out, and I love, and not just for my, not to say that I'm amazing. I'm just saying, like I told my boss when I got hired, I said, my environment that I'm used to living in is absolute chaos. So when you come to me and you say, are you okay? Is everything going all right? I'm like, this is a normal Tuesday for me. Like, it's just because I expect it, I'm not surprised. So when I'm trying to evaluate myself now that with it setting in at in the morning and at night for the thing I'm supposed to do, it's because it's one more reminder that may point me in the right direction to kind of stay close to the path. And that's been the biggest lesson, and it's totally not an intuitive one. It's not one that you can think of. If you explain that to someone, they'll be like, I guess it makes sense, but I don't know why. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. I think you and I have learned a lot from each other. I'm sharing some of the wisdom that I've picked up along the way, and I have the scars to prove it. But I'm learning from you too. I told your mother today. I said I was at work today, and I recognize there's something inside of me that holds back asking questions. You don't have a problem with that. I really admire that about you, and I've always told you to just keep throwing coal on that fire to keep your humility alive and your willingness to ask questions, to admit when you don't know things, because that's the fastest path to learning. And it's whenever the pride creeps in, you begin to close up and you no longer are receptive to sources of information. And I thought about that today at work because I needed to know some stuff, and there was somebody that I could ask to get the information from, but I really didn't want to because he's kind of a difficult person. But I knew I'd get the right information from him.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to ask myself, okay, so how important is it that you get that information? Is it important enough to swallow your pride and just go over and ask the question, realizing that you're the one that's getting in your way? And that was really kind of good for me to see that. And, you know, the same thing with my writing. As nice as our next door neighbor is who does the writing and all that, why did it take me so long to go over and ask him if he could give me some pointers?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Little fears inside that you really just need to confront and then point back at yourself and say, you're the one that's holding up your show. So get up and go and realize that it's your pride that's keeping you from growing.
Well, and so I had that experience last week with my project. So I'm working on this new chip. I'm not familiar with it. There's literally not much documentation, and every one you read is completely fractured and doesn't match the other one. But I was constantly hammering away at it. This is the thing that I've been trying to work on that I put on the back burner because it's really hard to understand. It's very frustrating for me. And so I finally was like, well, I emailed a guy a long time ago that works on the team of the thing that I'm doing. And I emailed him. I was like, hey man, this is what I'm trying to do, and I don't know what to do. It's like, I'm stuck. I know you told me before, but I didn't tell you these other details, but now these are the details, and this is what I'm trying to do. Because as a developer, you're constantly paranoid that someone's going to steal your idea and get rich, but then you keep forgetting that everyone else that could steal your idea actually has a real job and kids. So they're not, oh, Eureka, this is the one idea that I've needed. Ideas aren't worth anything. It's the hours on the weekend spent building the thing.
Right.
So he responded, and it was a very, do this. And you feel stupid, but it is hard to do sometimes because you've come, you feel that I've come 80% of the way. I should be able to eke out the last 20%, or I'm cheating. And you realize, at least I've realized this in my professional career, I'm more successful now because of asking those stupid questions.
Oh.
And you save up that information. But I had the same thing last week. And when I just emailed him, he literally responded in an hour. It was like, oh, hey, Ryan, actually, you should try this. Try this. Let me know if you have any other questions. And I feel like this is my secret project. But not realizing that if you release it for the public, it's not your secret project anymore. And sometimes it's okay for people to help along the way because you're not in a vacuum. It's just kind of hard to, especially with artistic things like the book. So I understand because it's your thing.
Well, and like I said, when you're on this road to your goal and you're not sure who the enemies will be that meet you and try to do all kinds of bad things to you, one of the big ones is you.
Mm-hmm.
And when you realize that, you know, you don't want to be open to all sources of information because mm-hmm. some are not valid and some are harmful and all that kind of good stuff. But, you know, stuff comes in all shapes and sizes and from all kinds of sources. And like in my case, a guy who's not real popular, but he's incredibly intelligent, has lots of answers. I know that if I ask him something, he's going to tell me exactly what the answer is, and I can bank on it. Why not just do that,
mm-hmm.
you know, and realize that you're holding up your show. So,
here's the funny part. I do the same thing at my job. What happens is you have the information, and everybody likes you more. So not only do they like you, but now you have the right answer, so they think you've hung the moon. Mm-hmm. And this guy, will look, and he won't say anything because he's like, either I don't want to tell people because then they're going to come and ask me questions and I have to do more work, or I don't want to tell people because to me it's a waste of time for them to understand this information. And they end up siloing themselves, and then when they need help, no one's there to help them.
You know, it's funny how we can be so arrogant about things that we know that people are coming to ask us questions about. But if you stop to think about it, you didn't come up with that idea.
Well, and you were the guy. You were the
Yeah.
guy asking the other guy
Yeah.
before,
You
and
got it
so.
from somebody else, and they probably got it from somebody else. So it's not like, you know, you invented something here.
Well, and it's not as far as like you didn't build that, but there is some truth to that. You didn't. You don't want to be self-made completely on your own. I mean, that means that you haven't had to be hungry or had to reach out for something. There's a certain thing that happens. It changes your perspective. When I got my first job, I was going to be a technical writer. Why? Because it was $10 an hour. That was more money than I'd ever made, and I knew that I exhausted everything I could possibly do for programming jobs because I didn't have a degree, and I had been a waiter. So I go in, I interview, but I'm at the bottom. But that act of, is it contrition? Is that where you're, please? That act of asking and begging for something that you don't even want changes it forever affects your character and changes it forever. And that's when I got that response of, I won't hire you as a technical writer, but from your programming skills, I'll hire you as a programmer. And at that point, you were ready for that opportunity and that responsibility. Whereas if I would have gotten it before, I would have possibly turned into that guy. You're really smart, but guess what? We live in a world with other people, and it doesn't do you any good if you don't play well with others.
No, and even you've said before that whereas somebody wants to recreate the wheel out there, you've at times on various jobs have told people, hey, there's already a product out there that does this. Why don't we just utilize that? We don't need to recreate the wheel. And so if we need to bang something out on our own, which you're having to do more and more as you go higher and higher in the realm of programming, that's one thing. But even on that, you're still standing on the backs of a lot of people that went before you to develop certain things and tools and concepts that you're now utilizing. I mean, you didn't develop Python, but you know Python now as a developer. But that's not something you came up with. You're just standing on the back of the guy that did develop it. And that's fine. And there's nothing wrong with that. But your speed in which you're developing yourself more and more and more will still be dependent on your willingness to explore the areas that you don't know, that you have little or no knowledge of, and be willing to be vulnerable and open to others who can provide that information. Some will gladly give it to you, others will, you know, in their arrogance, try to make you chase them for it, but.
Or even changing it up. I mean, that's worked. I mean, the two biggest benefits for me in my life right now, changing it up and researching to find the first step. I went back to the dentist. I was mortified. I hate the dentist. I would rather have open heart surgery. But I said, other what's the alternative isn't good. So find the first step. The first step was sedation. Oh, I didn't know they could do sedation. Yeah, they can. It's $75. It's not about the money, it's about the nerves. So you get the sedation. I did it twice, wham bam, all my teeth are done now. The end.
Well, it's interesting, you know, too, when we talk about maintaining a level of motivation, sometimes fear is a good motivator. But it also allowed you to explore some possible things that could be done to alleviate some of those fears. But keeping the motivation alive and going back to this thing I was saying earlier about Disney World, for me personally, I noticed that I do tend to lessen in my excitement about pursuing something. I think years and years ago, I might have interpreted that as, well, I guess that really wasn't what I was supposed to do. When in reality, okay, so it got hard, so you decided not to do it now, right? Not because you couldn't do it or that you wouldn't have been good at it, but, you know, it was just risking too much.
Yeah. Well, and like in the programming perspective, as a younger developer, I would build something and whatever I built at a base level was foundational and didn't change. So then as I got older, I decided like, okay, well, we have to do it this way. Then I've just learned to take a step back, be the devil's advocate, and be like, why? Why do you need to do that? Is that the first thing you found on Google? That's why you're doing it that way? There may be other ways. You need to rethink your perspective. This isn't working. Like in Python, you run fast and break things, right? You break things as fast as possible so you know where the weaknesses are. You ask forgiveness instead of permission. Whereas in other languages, you have really strong typed languages where you have to define, when I send this, it better be looking like this and do only these things and not do anything else. Where Python's like, I'm going to throw this. It's going to look kind of like this. It's going to look kind of like your daughter when she comes and knocks on the door. So just let her in. Oh, that wasn't my daughter. It looked like my daughter. Then you deal with that as an exception. Whereas in other languages, it'll say, this is a picture of your daughter. This is the clothes she'll be wearing. It makes it much harder because then you're programming an exactly, that exact fit for that one thing
It's
instead of
very
just say,
unforgiving.
just fly with it. It's life.
No.
So that's what I've learned. And that is a very, like I said, these are not intuitive concepts. These are very hard and take a very long time to learn. When you discover the answer is just find the first step, forget the rest. Stop trying to micromanage yourself. And more importantly, hold loosely to these things that you think are foundational. They
Right.
may not be. Like with cloud technology, that blows up on premise. Oh yeah, well, we need to do this. That's no longer an issue. You have to change how your perspective of how you're evaluating the problem and even how you're asking the question. So this next week, I'm really gonna bear down. Actually, that's why on Saturday I don't think I'm gonna do anything tomorrow night because I'm just gonna bear down on the system, realizing that it does take blood and sweat to push something through. I'm gonna bear down on that. I'll continue with the new company. Everything kind of hinges on me to build the technology once again. It's a lonely place, but at least people need me, right? And try to manage my time. Another thing I've been concentrating on, sleep is actually a huge factor. Like I start to go paranoid if I'm not. So like last night I was like, I'm gonna work on the system. No, I'm just gonna go to sleep. So next week I'm gonna work more on the diet. The diet's been doing better. I've been doing better in the morning and at lunch. I've been packing my lunch so I don't have an option, which I have to like trick myself to do these things. So I'll work on the system, more on the company. The new thing that I was thinking of that we'll talk more about next week. I'm still getting feedback from someone on that. That's another thing I learned as I get older is just ask people. Just say, this is my idea. Shoot it down so I don't have to worry about it
Right.
if it's not gonna work. So that's pretty much for me. And then just health and getting that all back on track.
You mentioned sleep. That was one of the things. I was starting to get depressed, and I think part of it is just not getting enough rest.
It affects you.
And I don't. And I will say this: I really kept up on my exercising, and obviously, I'm older than you. And when I wasn't exercising, I wouldn't necessarily sleep well, and so that was a problem. So even if I went to bed on time, you wake up several times during the night because you just, your body's just, creaking and groaning. And so exercise was really key, but also getting to bed on time, making sure I'm eating right stuff. And I spend time in the Bible in the morning at work and just reading and time in prayer. And that's been crucial for me, just staying at that and asking God for guidance in my day. Staying motivated with the writing, and asking questions. I can't say strongly enough how important that has been to me as a long learning curve that I'm going through here. I'm going to finish this book. But I'm running into all these highwaymen along the way here, these people, these robbers and thieves, who are at work, and some of them are me, you know. So I'm learning how to manage my time better, And not losing sight of the goal of finishing that book. So I'm still writing, it's just not as much. But this thing with the testing, your mom has been challenging me to just keep that in front of me too, because that's just going to be here and gone. And so I really have to spend the time so that I make that worth my while, because it affects me at work as well. Some of the things that I'm learning, and if I get that certification, it'll help us financially and all that kind of good stuff.
Or maybe writing a little bit as a break.
Yeah, and just but to keep that fresh, okay. So this has been a real challenging time, but so I'm just, keeping at what I've been doing. I don't have any specific goals for the writing, except to just keep it fresh and just keep writing on a regular basis.
Keep it moving.
The rest of it is, there are some, like I said, some existing things that are short term that I really can't ignore that I've got to take care of, and that's life. So, anyway, that's about it for me.
Okay, well, we will check in next week.
Yep.
All right, bye.
Bye.